Hey there, I'm Fabricio Cruz, a coffee shop millionaire, and welcome to yet another excellent informative video on how to achieve the lifestyle of your dreams. Now, in this presentation, I'm going to be going over in more detail what kind of things that you need to look out for when you're scaling your business up to the next level. I'm talking about the seven-figure level, and if you're advanced, don't worry about it. You know, if you're a technical newbie, don't worry about it. I just want to give you a good glimpse, a good idea of what's waiting for you once you reach this kind of level. And of course, you're going to reach to this level by the training that we're providing here inside of Coffee Shop Millionaire. So let's go ahead and start talking about the next level. But first, let me give you a warning. This video contains material for those that are ready to take their business from the six-figure a year level to the seven-figure per year level. So let's go ahead and talk about growing your business. Again, this is mainly for seven-figure businesses. We're going to talk about, you know, a few things, what to look out for and what you'll need and what pitfalls you can avoid. And then, you know, your mindset needs to change. You need to think about big leverage, you know. Think how you can scale up your business. Think how you can expand. You're going to have to outsource. You're going to have to possibly have an in-house staff. Your needs are going to change. You know, you're going to have to incorporate customer support, merchant accounts. You're going to have several merchant accounts. You're going to have pretty solid web hosting. And then we can talk about some advertising strategies for big businesses. You know, it's not using same old Google anymore. You know, we're going beyond Google, and there's some different strategies that you're going to have to be aware about so that you can take your business to the next level, and that's seven figures. Let me ask you, do you really want to grow this big? You know, there are going to be some changes that you're going to have to make to your business if you really want to grow this big. And there's also ways that you can automate this so that you're enjoying more time, you know, just like myself and all the other coffee shop millionaires. But to get started here, you know, you're going to have to really dig deep and make sure that you have your infrastructure set properly. Now, you're going to have a staff. You're going to have some sort of in-house staff or outsourced staff, and I'll talk to you here and explain some of the things that you're going to need to do. You know, fulfillment. You know, is this going to be digital or is it going to be physical? You know, is the product that you're going to deliver something that they're going to receive in their hands? If so, you're going to have to decide, how am I going to fulfill that? Am I going to do that in-house? Am I going to outsource that to another company? You know, that's just something that you need to look out for. Of course, if it's going to be digital fulfillment, you know, your needs there are going to be a little bit different, but you're still going to need a way to deliver that type of content, and we'll talk about that here in a second. And then, you know, some challenges that you might have are the PR, public relations. You know, once you grow big, once you have a big business, you know, of course, our goal is to satisfy everyone. We want everyone that buys our product to be a raving fan and to tell all of their friends about us so that we can, you know, continue to grow our business. But the fact is, you're going to receive the occasional person, and it might even be 1 out of 1,000, could be 0.01%, something crazy low, or 0.01%, something crazy low. But that one person could have such a negative impact if they start putting out negative stuff about you in the forums, you know, negative articles, negative websites. So we're going to talk about how to overcome that so that you're prepared, you know, in the event that that happens. Again, hopefully it doesn't, but you know, it's always good to know that there are some public relations things that you want to watch out for. And then, you know, customer support, it needs to be on point. You know, when people ask for cancellations, you got to give it to them. When they ask for refunds, you have to give it to them. And if you don't honor those cancellations and refunds, then you're going to encounter some big obstacles and big challenges that can bring you down. And we're going to talk about those here in just a little bit. But first, let's talk briefly about an additional staff. Now, basically, you're going to want a project manager. And of course, a lot of people, including myself, I started out doing this myself, and you might as well too. So don't feel like you have to have all this stuff on day one. This is just stuff to look out for that eventually, as you grow, this is going to help relieve you of your time spent, you know, in the business, and you can just focus on expanding and growing and reaching to newer and greater heights, or enjoying that free time to spend more time with your family, friends, travel, whatever it is that you want to do. So project managers, that's something that's going to be very important down the line, but you can start off doing that yourself. Someone who's going to oversee the creation of new campaigns, new projects, and just make sure that all the tasks and all the goals that are set out for that project get met. And then you're going to want to have some sort of an advertising team in place. Or if you're a DIY, do it yourself, or you can hire out to media buy experts. Now, if you're watching this and you've been through all the other trainings, you know, we're teaching you how to do it yourself. But, you know, if you reach this level and you're thinking, I'd rather just hand it off to somebody else, then you might want to consider contacting media buy experts. And we're going to have links and resources, you know, within the back office here. So don't worry about, you know, getting all that right now. I just want to give you an overview of what you can expect once you grow your business to the next level. And of course, I talked earlier about customer support. You need to have customer support. That's not optional. You need to have customer support, but it's much easier if it's outsourced. And you know, we've got contacts with some great companies overseas, you know, over outside of the United States that can help you in this manner. And they speak excellent English, and they can handle the job, and they're properly trained. Now, that's the most easiest, most feasible way that I see it happening, and most dependable. You can outsource to other countries like the Philippines for say $5-6 an hour for a full-time person, versus if you want that same quality of work here in the United States, even assuming if you're abroad and you still want a great quality work in the United States, you're looking at $12, $13, $14, $15 and up dollars per hour, you know, more than triple or quadruple the cost in certain cases. So you want to make sure that you can outsource that. Of course, that's totally up to you. I've got some friends and colleagues that prefer to handle customer support in-house so that they have a better a better pulse on how customer support's doing. Just make sure that your customer support team, whether it be in-house or out-house, or outsourced rather, make sure that they are able to provide you with daily updates so that you can easily make sure that you have a pulse on that. So you can kind of have the same benefits as if the support was in-house, but it's really outsourced. And then fulfillment. You know, if it's physical, it's easier to outsource that from a third-party company. And again, we're going to have some resources for you as to where you can go for fulfillment to a third party. But, you know, if you're going to have a staff in-house, then you can easily hire and train, you know, one of those people to manage your fulfillment and maybe save some costs there. Sometimes you can have the same person doing a couple of things. So don't feel like you have to have one person for one thing and one for the other. You can have, you know, the same, you know, for example, I have a right-hand man that works with me here locally where I live, and he handles a lot of the things for me, and then a lot of the smaller things I outsource, you know, fulfillment's outsourced, customer support's outsourced, but he's more of my project manager guy, and he also oversees a few of these little things, also does some occasional fulfillment too, so that's something to think about. And there's no right or wrong way to go about this. There's just the way that's right for your business, what's cost effective and actually functional and effective, so that your customers, you know, enjoy their experience as being a customer of yours. And if they enjoy that, then they're going to tell friends and they're going to buy more. So we have to put focus here on setting up the infrastructure so that we can support that happy environment that we're looking, you know, again, from our customers. Now let's talk a little bit about public relations. Now again, when you grow your business to a seven-figure level, you're going to have lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of customers. Now hopefully, overwhelming number of those customers, like I touched upon earlier, are going to be happy. Hopefully that's 100%, but of course it's unrealistic. You know, someone's going to have a download problem, someone's not going to get their product in the mail, someone's going to, you know, feel like that, you know, you didn't cancel them fast enough, you know, and that's realistic. You know, someone is, no matter how good your intentions are, no matter if you're, you know, a saint, a literal saint, you know, you're still going to encounter some of these challenges. So how do we combat those challenges? Well, you know, you want a public relations campaign to start before you advertise on a large scale. So if you're at a six-figure income right now, or six-figure yearly income, or even before, I mean, you want to be able to forecast, you know, that you are going to grow to this level if that's your desire, you know. And again, you don't have to be at this level. I know plenty of coffee shop millionaires that are content, you know, just being at the level that they're at. But if you want to grow to millions and multi-millions, then this is the path you need to take. And I'm making it as easy for you to get prepared for that. So you want to make sure that you have a public relations campaign going before you start advertising on a large scale. What does that mean? That means submitting press releases about your products or services, so that when people start Googling and researching your products and your name and your company, which they will, they're going to already see some information about your company. So it doesn't seem like it's a company that just was born overnight, or some fly-by-night company, or the negative reviews. Let's say a customer leaves a negative review, then that is going to be indexed by the search engines. And if you don't have any positive content, and if you're brand new, and obviously you haven't given enough time for your happy customers to go in and talk about your business, then you're going to need to kind of generate that yourself so that you can, so that you can have plenty of stuff. Whenever somebody does research your company name to start with, they'll see some things. They'll see some press releases. They'll see some articles out there. So how do you get started, and how many articles? Well, I like to have a good number of articles ready to go, thinking maybe 25 to 50. That's a pretty good start. And of course, ideally, you're going to have articles going out all the time. You know, maybe focus on getting, 10 to 20 articles per month. Once you've got your 50 already set, once you've got your 50 circulated out there, that's the number you want to start with. For example, in this example, 25 to 50, I'm going to stick with 50. Then try to get 20, 30 articles every single month pumping out there over the internet. And I'm telling you, you're just going to own the search engine results for your company name, for your product name. When people are doing research and they want to do a little bit more, investigation on you and your company, you're going to own it. And of course, this is assuming that you're selling a good product, a good service, and you're being honorable. Of course, people can use this for bad and deceive customers, but we're not about deceiving customers. We're about providing our customers with the best experience possible and getting rid of any possible, negative and pitfalls that can come up with regards to public relations here. So you want to have, your name, your company name, what products that you're selling, you want to have that in the search engines. And again, this is going to prevent any unsatisfied customers from getting much attention in the search engines. Of course, if they have legitimate concerns, then ideally what you'll do is you'll address those and you'll go in there and you'll clean up whatever problem there is. So hopefully they can come back and say, hey, they took care of my problem, or they did cancel me, in fact, or they did finally send the product. Whatever the issue might be, you just want to make sure that you are honoring your end of the deal so that you can have people spread good news about you and not bad news about you. So you want to have someone also on your staff. Again, this could be your project manager, could be somebody that you outsource to, could be somebody who's in charge of a couple of roles at the same time. You want to have someone on your staff that's always aware of what people are saying online. So this is something that you want to do proactively. You want to go out there, consistently Google your name, your company name, your products names, your competitors. You want to see what people are writing out there. And if you've done a good job in terms of getting articles and press releases out there, then there's a good chance that you're going to be in a pretty good shape to where you don't really have to combat any negativity, but you still want to be aware of it, and you still want to have people focused out there on finding anything negative so you can go in there and fix the problem. Like I said, again, this is all about providing the customer with a good experience. This is not about deceiving anybody. This is not about putting out garbage products and trying to pretend that they look good, because that's going to bring you down. The press is just going to overwhelm you, and you're not going to be able to survive. And there's a lot more pitfalls other than just being shut down that happens. For example, not being able to get more merchant accounts, your credit's shot. There's a lot of things that can put you back for a long time if you come out with a crappy product. I've seen it before. So the moral of this little mini rant is do not deceive people and honor your word, and you'll be just fine. Now let's talk about the technical infrastructure here. There's really not much to this. I mean, you can get into this pretty deep, or kind of look at it on the surface like I'm talking about. Unless you're a tech geek and somebody that loves this kind of stuff, there's no need to really dig too deep into this. So I'm not going to go extremely deep. I'm just going to tell you what I feel like you need to know, and then you can kind of go from there. If you feel like you need more information, you can talk to somebody who knows a lot more about this stuff. I'm a coffee shop millionaire, and I'm not a tech geek, so you don't really need to be a tech geek to get to the level where I know you're striving to be at. But you need industrial strength hosting. Look into either a dedicated server or a cloud hosting. Basically, a dedicated server is a server that's dedicated to you. You're the only one on it. And then cloud hosting, I'm not a cloud hosting expert here, but there are several different, computers and servers and infrastructures around either the country or the world where, your information is kind of up in those clouds. Picture it that your information's up in the clouds, and then let's say if somebody's on the west coast, of the country, they access it from one place, and somebody's on the east coast, they access it from another place, which means greater speed in delivery of content, as well as a lot more bandwidth, and the less chance of your servers going down. So research both of those and see what's a good fit for you. Personally, I have a dedicated server. I know people that recommend cloud hosting. So again, it just depends on your budget and where you're getting your traffic from and what makes most sense for you specifically. But you do need industrial strength hosting. I'm not talking about this $10, $20 a month hosting. Your server will crash, and if it doesn't crash, your hosting company is going to say you're out of bandwidth, which is almost just as bad as it crashing. So you need to make sure that you're all set there. And then you need to have it be managed 24 hours a day in case of a server crash. Now, most dedicated hosting companies offer 24-hour a day management of the server, so you don't really need to stress out too much looking for that. There's HostGator, Liquid Web, and there's a few other companies. And again, refer to our links here in the resources to specific links, because sometimes things change, so we want to be on top of that. In the event that something changes here quickly, but don't worry, don't stress out too much about finding a company to manage your server, because most companies that offer dedicated servers already include that. Just be weary of those cheaper, $50, $60 a month dedicated server companies. And not that they're bad. I mean, they do as promised. However, they do not include the 24-hour managed servers. And this is great, because there's been times when I'm getting a lot of traffic, in the middle of the night from, Asian countries and Australia and other countries around the world that are, in prime time. We're asleep here in the United States, but overseas in other countries, it's prime time. Your server's being hit up with a lot of traffic, and the server goes down. Now, in most cases, I get a little email that says, hey, there's a blip in your server. Then I can contact my server company and say, hey, something happened here, or my web hosting company. Something happened here, and let's look into it. And then within the matter of 5-10 minutes, it's up and running again, and the problem is already solved. Now, if you were managing your own server, or you didn't have anybody managing that, then you can go hours and hours and hours, 10-12 hours without anybody being able to visit your site. So that's very, very important. Once you're ready to go to this level, then be sure that you're well taken care of there in the server department. And then any videos or large downloads should be on Amazon S3. Now, their website and their link changes often, but the name is Amazon S3. Go ahead and just Google the term Amazon S3 and you'll be able to find them. But put all your videos and all your large downloads on Amazon S3, because that's going to eliminate the need from your customers and just videos bogging down your servers. You want those servers to be sharp and ready for that traffic that's coming to it. And then let Amazon handle the big files and all that. And it's dirt cheap. It's literally pennies on the dollar compared to what you'd pay for other storage solutions and even another dedicated host to host all that stuff for you. And then you need a customer relationship management solution, something that's going to manage your customers and deliver the emails that they need, the receipts, everything. Now, one shopping cart is good for most companies, for most people starting out. Now, I recommend once you're in the 50, 100 orders per day plus, you upgrade to something more industrial, like Limelight CRM. Now, that's good for higher level business owners and people looking to go into the six-figure monthly, seven-figure yearly level. Now, go ahead. Again, I'm going to reference the resources section for the links here to those specific companies, because again, the internet's very dynamic. Things are changing. We could have a different recommendation tomorrow for video hosting, but for example, with Amazon. But I doubt that's going to happen, but that's just an example. But again, one shopping cart's good. You probably want the $100 a month plan. That's pretty good. Limelight CRM is a little bit more expensive. It's $3,000 to get started, and then it's $700 a month or $800. I'm not sure specifically on the price, but they vary, of course, depending on what your needs are. But you just want to make sure that you are prepared for that next level and that nothing bad happens there when you're trying to grow. And then your back-end fulfillment. If it's digital, you might want to use something like WP Wishlist or MemberMouse, which can be integrated. And again, you have your content hosted on Amazon S3 if it's a pretty large download file. But the content management system could be, WP Wishlist or MemberMouse. Just go to MemberMouse.com or you can Google the term. And again, we're going to have links to all this stuff in the resources section. Now, let's talk about your merchant account setup, or let's talk about how merchant service providers look, and basically this is very, very important, and I want you to listen to me here. If there's one part of this business that can bring you down, this is it. merchant processing, merchant service providers are always, looking for good quality merchants, but they're always trying to weed out the bad ones, and they'll weed them out fast. And I'm telling you, when you get on the merchant blacklist, you're pretty much done. It's like your credit is shot, and you either have to open up a new business or you have to go to a business partner, and it's just. It's just more trouble, and I'm trying to avoid you from going down this path. And if you listen to me here in the next couple of slides, you will definitely avoid any nightmares here with merchant service providers. So you want 3 to 5 merchant accounts to start because you want to diversify your processing, and it's called load balancing. You know, for example, if you know that you're going to process $100,000 in orders this month, ideally you can split that up between 2 or 3 different merchant accounts so that you have less volume on each merchant account, but of course, overall volume, you're still pretty solid. You want to start off with around $50,000 a month in each, for volume, and that's the volume that they allow you to run with. So if you run with a lot more than 50,000, you're going to need to either get a new merchant account or you're going to have to request an account upgrade, which you can do after 3 or 5 months of consistent processing if you're around that $50,000 a month neighborhood. But $50,000 a month is good because, you know, that gives you plenty of room to upgrade and work and work your way up to that big traffic volume. Now, for over $300,000 a month in total processing, and that's when you're really making, multi-millions per year in sales, $3, $4, $5 million a year, you want to look into offshore merchant accounts because typical onshore, and I'm talking about U.S. merchant accounts, get a little bit nervous once you start doing $100,000, $200,000 a month. So when you're doing $300,000 and over, even combined, even if you have 5 or 6 different merchant accounts, you still want to go offshore. Now, there's some drawbacks to going offshore, like, for example, you're going to get paid once a month versus, daily with, the onshore merchant accounts. So, or I'm sorry, once a week. So you're going to have to be able to float that money, once a week before you get paid. And so depending on your cash flow position, that may or may not be an option for you. So you kind of want to ease into that versus just going straight up with offshore, right away. Now, let's talk about some pitfalls to avoid because there are plenty of pitfalls, but seriously, if you just follow and keep in mind everything I'm going to tell you on this one slide, you should be pretty good. But your chargebacks need to be under 1%. Now, if they go a little bit over, I don't think that's going to be the end of the day for you. However, if you go too much over, say you're 2, 3, 4%, then you're at risk of getting, shut down. But usually if you go a little bit over 1%, they're going to let you know and they're going to ask you, all right, we got to review your process or we need to change something here because we're not liking it. So if you just comply with them and work with their request, then you're going to be in good standing with your merchant accounts. Your volume needs to be consistent on each MSP or merchant service provider account. So if you've got 2 or 3 different merchant accounts, you need to have consistent volume. And if you don't have consistent volume, just make sure that you let them know that you're still in the startup phase. And then let them know when you do plan and you anticipate consistent volume so that they're not, your account's not flagged for anything negatively here. Then you want to make sure that your merchant service provider knows the price of each product. Now, if you're approved to charge up to $1,000, and that's per transaction, I'm not talking about as a whole, because when you apply with them, they're going to ask you, what's the average price of your ticket and what's your most expensive product. So if you say your most expensive product is $1,000, don't run a $10,000 transaction because that's going to flag you and you run a risk of either, having to change up the terms of your MSP or, getting it shut down altogether. They're very nervous. I picture them as a bunch of very nervous people, and if you go outside of what they understand that you're doing, they're going to get nervous and they're going to ask you, hey, what's going on? And remember, this is the part of the business that can really bring you down. So we want to stay clean here and we want to make sure that we're always in touch with them. And which brings me to my next point is you want to keep into communication with your merchant service providers and you want to notify them in case of any increase or decrease in volume. What freaks them out sometimes is inconsistencies. So if you forecast any inconsistencies, let them know ahead of time. Let them know that, we're changing web hosting providers and, we're not going to be processing for the next couple of days. Or let them know that we just bought a surge of traffic and volume's going to double. Let them know that if you can. I know sometimes you can't really predict these things, but even if it's, you know, even if it's the in the aftermath or even during, you know, let them know, hey, we just encountered a you know, our server went down, and hopefully if you follow my advice, your server won't go down. But just for example, our server went down and we haven't been processing the last couple of days. Just wanted to let you know. Just make sure that you're letting them know what's going on in your business at all times, because again, this is the part of the business that can bring you down. And another thing is, you are going to get chargebacks. You know, that's just the fact of life. You know, people thought they requested a refund, but they really didn't. Or maybe your customer support, you know, accidentally, you know, didn't cancel somebody out. You know, that's just a fact of life. Refunds are part of business, so just expect that they're going to come. You want to respond to all chargebacks. You know, even if it's an overlooked refund, just let them know, oh, I'm sorry, I just refunded them, you know, and then put the transaction number or the date, or if it's a chargeback that's already occurred, then you can just say, you know, sorry, we overlooked it, you know, rest assured it's not going to happen again. Or if it's somebody that said, I didn't get product access, you could say, well, our email system shoots out product access right away, they should have gotten it, there's no excuse for this chargeback, and you can actually fight and possibly win that chargeback. But it's bad news whenever you do get a chargeback, and again, you want to keep them under 1%, but it's really bad news when you do get a chargeback, so you want to make sure that your customer support is sharp, is on point, it's honoring refunds, cancellations, you know, any billing adjustments. You know, you got to make sure you're on top of that, because chargebacks can really, really make you look bad with the MSPs. So respond to all chargebacks, and that's going to make you look more legit. Do not ignore chargebacks. Try to get them in before the due date. Each chargeback is going to have a due date, so make sure that you get it in, and usually it's not a lot of time. So if you get a chargeback, it might mean you have about a week or less to respond to it. Make sure you reply to all chargebacks in a timely manner. Now let's briefly talk about customer support. I recommend you outsource all your customer support. I don't know of anybody who'd want to do it in-house. Of course, that's an option for you, but I don't recommend it. I've been outsourcing my customer support for a long time, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Now you want to reference some the resources for specific recommendations and links that I've been talking about again, you know, because again, this is a dynamic business. The internet's a dynamic thing, and you know, what we recommend today could be different tomorrow. So I want to make sure that you always reference our download links and our link section, so that you're always getting the latest, because we can update that on a moment's notice. But you know, this is always going to be the case. Outsource all your customer support. I'm talking about download problems, cancellation requests, product questions, etc. You know, you don't want to deal with that, and you don't want your in-house staff, you know, unless this is part of your core strategy, but I don't recommend it. You don't want them dealing with cancellations. Such a negative thing. You want to outsource that to somebody else and let them give you an overview at the end of the day of what's going on, so that you can make strategic actions, strategic decisions based on that data. But you don't want to feel it. You don't want to hear somebody requesting a cancellation, or you don't want to see those emails. I personally hate seeing those emails. I don't see those emails. I outsource that, and I recommend you do that too. And then you want to create a support FAQ. This is going to help eliminate the, you know, bogging down your customer support. You know, what are the terms, what are the refund terms, you know, what are the cancellation terms, how soon can they expect their product, what can they do if they don't, if they're unable to download their product, is there another place they can go, what's the phone number they can call in if they have any questions. You know, things like that can be easily put together in FAQ or frequently asked questions part of your website. And then you also want to make sure that you have a help desk, somewhere where people can go to log in and register, or at the very least a dedicated Gmail account to start with. I recommend you quickly upgrade to the help desk, because it's going to help organize all your customer support questions and inquiries. But Gmail is a good, you know, second option if you're kind of on a low budget to start with, to get a dedicated email that you can have several people log into and just have a nice itemized you know, listings of all your emails and things like that. But again, I recommend you go with the help desk. And then first, you want to honor all cancellations, and I guess there's really no need for me to say this, but the main point of me saying this is so that you get less chargebacks. Everyone knows that that's the honorable thing, to honor all cancellations and refund requests. So make sure that you do that, because you're going to see less chargebacks. Hopefully you were doing that from the beginning, so that you don't see any chargebacks that say, I requested a refund and never got it, or I requested to be taken out of this and it never was taken out. So honor all cancellations. And then as a bonus here, you want to do outbound thank you calls. and this will minimize chargebacks as well. You can have your customer support team, you know, do outbound calls so that when somebody orders, they can say, hello, thank you for your order of so-and-so and so-and-so product. You know, here's where you can access it. Here's our number if you have any questions. I'm telling you, doing that is going to minimize chargebacks, and it's well worth the cost of having somebody make those outbound calls. So again, reference our resources sections for some script examples on how we do that to help minimize refunds, chargebacks, and any confusion. You know, it's going to help eliminate a lot of the future customer support because you get to nail those questions right then and there versus waiting for them to become problems. Now let's briefly talk about advertising. This is not an advertising, you know, video, so I'm just going to give you some brief things of what to expect when you're going to the next level about advertising. There's a lot more that we're going to talk about in a future video more dedicated to this type of advertising, but let's go ahead and jump right into it. Top tier pay-per-clicks like Google, you know, Yahoo, MSN, Bing, you know, now that they're joining forces, those are keyword specific, and that's one way to market. But for all other traffic sources, most others, they rely on demographics. What are demographics? People's age, their gender, is your product better for males or females, their education, you know, are they college educated, high school educated, you know, what's their income? You know, higher income level people respond differently to offers than lower income people, and there's many other, you know, demographics that you can target right there. So make sure that you target them where they hang out. If your ideal candidate is a 25-year-old woman, where's a 25-year-old woman going to hang out? You know, women's interests. You know, what are the women's interest sites? Maybe Oprah's website. You know, that's just an example. But just, you got to research, where is it that women in your age group hang out, and what is it that they do? And then you want to purchase advertising on credit, you know, and then you want to make sure that you have an out clause, and then you pay back after sales are made. So if you can purchase, you know, let's say you can purchase next month's advertising on credit, then that is due 30 days after the end of the month, and you can use the money that you've made from those sales to pay it back. Now, again, you need to have an out clause. A 24-hour out clause, in most cases, that's what it is. You can do with a week out clause, but 24 hours, that means that you can simply pull out if it's not converting for you, and you only pay for, say, that day or for that week, but you're not responsible for the entire, you know, 30 days, which could cost you an absolute fortune if you don't know if whether or not you can convert that traffic. And you'll know quickly. You'll know after the first day, after the first few days, whether or not the traffic's going to convert, and then you pull out. So again, I said this is a quick slide here on advertising. This is not all-inclusive on advertising, but these are some of the biggest things that you're going to have to watch out for once you scale up to this next level. And again, we're going to talk in greater detail about, you know, seven-figure advertising, but again, this is just a short overview. So that's the conclusion here. Now let me ask you again, do you really want a seven-figure business? Now that you have an inside look as to what it's going to look like to generate your business to the next level, do you really want it? It's going to be a little bit more complicated getting set up than it is for a typical six-figure business, but I'll tell you what, it's not as hard as it sounds. It's really easy to do. You just have to have all the elements here in place, and then you can make it happen. You know, knowing what to expect is going to help minimize the pitfalls. So now you know you need multiple merchant accounts. Now you know you need to outsource your customer support. Now you need to know you need to honor the refunds. Now you need to know that you need to get out there and be proactive versus reactive about your products and services online. Now you need to know what you need to do and what to expect to take it to that next level. And then you need to evaluate on a daily and or weekly. You know, once you've proven profitable for some time, then you can look at this on a weekly and then later on a monthly basis for profit and cut out useless expenses. I'm telling you, there's plenty of places you can cut out. Maybe you hired too many support people. Maybe you have too many servers. Maybe you're paying too much in advertising for one location. You can renegotiate a cheaper rate. Whatever it is, just make sure that you're able to cut out expenses, because at the end of the day, that's going to be more profits, more money in your pocket. So be sure that you're on top of that. And then you want to focus on delivering excellent customer support and be diversified in your merchant account processing. And if you're taken care of in those two departments, then you literally open up the world. I mean, the sky is the limit on what you can do online when you take care of your customers, because that PR is going to be good. Public relationships is going to be good. You're going to get a lot of word of mouth traffic as well as your merchant account people, your MSPs, are going to be very happy, and you can get more MSPs, you can grow more, and you can literally grow into a mega, mega business and sell it off for multi-million someday, or just keep raking in the cash and living the lifestyle that you really want. So this is a conclusion to the seven-figure business. I hope I've given you an insight. I know I've given you an insight. I hope that you're excited. If you're brand new and you're just watching this, I hope this makes you excited as to what's to come. If you're already somewhat advanced and you're looking to go to the next level, well, now you have a pretty good starting ground right here as to what you need to do to go to the next level. Go ahead and reference the resources and links section that we have, because again, these recommendations might change on a moment's notice, and we want to make sure that you have the latest and the greatest information at your fingertips. So I hope you've enjoyed this video, and I'll see you on the next video.